Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Hi, this is Lori, your host of the Happiness Hangout, a place and space to feel your best. And today we are talking about a very common topic, a topic that might be common, but a lot of people still have a very hard time dealing with. We talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk when it comes to stress, especially stress around the holidays. It can be very, very tough. And a lot of people have various things going on. Sometimes it's grief of losing people and the holidays aren't fun for people. Sometimes it's relatives and people we're around that we maybe wish we could be around different people. Sometimes it's the stress of trying to do everything we think we have to do. Sometimes it's financial. It's so many things. And this is why I personally think Thanksgiving is one of people's favorite holidays, because they don't deal with three quarters of the issues that a lot of times we deal with during the holidays. So we want to talk about holiday stress, how to deal with it, how to lower it, and how to feel much better. And today I am bringing back Mrs. Kim Langley. Kim has been a guest on my show before, and I'm having her back because she is so talented, wonderful at what she does professionally and personally. So excited to have her. I want to tell you a little bit about Kim. Kim Langley, she's an extremely passionate and knowledgeable about spiritual and creative educational programs, as well as emotional intelligence, optimism. She does much training, leadership development, coaching, and so much more. Kim works with many corporate clients to sharpen their skills and increase the performance of their employees. Kim is an experienced professional trainer and coach and is a sought-after speaker. She conducts over 100 workshops annually for corporations, professional groups, nonprofits, associations, and so on. I am thrilled once again to bring Kim Langley to our show. Welcome, Kim, to the Happiness Hangout.
Thank you, Lori. I'm happy to be back.
So glad to have you. And you know, you heard my intro. I mean, this whole, you know, issue with holiday stress is I just think of my mom. She had so much holiday stress. And you know, I have really worked on that personally myself. So you know, I named some of the things that people stress out over the holidays when I intro the show. What are some of the things from your perspective that people stress out about over the holidays?
Well, you know, as you said, I'm a trainer for over 20 years now, and so I've delivered a workshop called Stress Less Holidays for years. And so I've heard a lot of people's stories, which is, of course, a privilege. And I've heard everything from I'm in my basement for weeks before Christmas wrapping over 100 presents. That would stress me out. Or people who can't afford the same level of giving that their siblings want to participate in. So somebody will say, let's all spend $100 a piece next year, and that works for them, but not for everyone, and there's no consultation. A big thing that comes up in the workshops is travel, that people live so geographically distant now that just leaving the comfort of your own home, or if you have children, they have to leave their presents behind and hop in the car or jump on a plane. And by the time people get there to celebrate with their extended family, for example, they may already be exhausted from traveling. Mm-hmm. So you talked about how much you've worked on this over the years to try to learn from your mother's pain. And I just want to add my voice to yours and say that one of the best things I think we can all do for each other and for ourselves is to make, you know, November, December a time when we're really living a reflective life. You know, the whole unexamined life is not worth living. Mm-hmm. I think that comes true with a vengeance during the holidays. And so one of the things I'd like to talk to you about tonight is how people can walk themselves through some questions. Like, if you have experienced the post-holiday blues, or the run-up to the holiday blues. If you're listening to this, grab a pencil. Consider reflecting on what sets the stage for my holiday blues and finish these sentence stems. Is it exhaustion from too much what? Is it disappointments like what? Is it unmet expectations around holiday celebrations, including what? Is it over-focus on material things? Is it social pressures or old griefs that come up so much at this time of the year? Simple fatigue can set you up for post-holiday blues. Unreasonable expectations, like my partner, spouse, or kids are going to read my mind and get me the perfect present. Is there some past history that isn't fully healed? You know, if I grew up in a family that put the fun in dysfunctional, and lots of us did, then
right.
Maybe we have very mixed memories of, you know, one year there was a big meal with all the trimmings, and there was a tree, or there were gifts, and so on. And then the next year, when things weren't going well, you know, there was nothing. And if that history isn't healed, it's going to keep coming back to bite us every single year. And the last couple things to reflect on are overspending tendencies and how we might manage those or get someone we love and trust to help keep us accountable as we try to manage them. Some of us need to learn more about seasonal affective disorder because we think we know what it is, but we might not, and many more people suffer from it than think they do. And then, of course, we're very overscheduled. So if that feels like you, a powerful intervention is to get real practical and think about how many invitations am I going to accept in December? Which group of friends or family can I talk into or persuade in a respectful way that we shouldn't meet before the holidays, but we should do something in January and February when most people are desperate to get out of the house and there's almost nothing to do, you know? So that's just some of my initial thoughts.
Oh, Kim, you've said so much here that my brain is swirling here because so many people are dealing with so many things. And I feel very lucky that really I don't, you know, I don't have a lot of that. But, you know, so I can relate to other people going through it, though. So
sure. You
said so many things. I mean, what hits me is people who grieve over this time, people who, you know, work full time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my fiance's mom, she's amazing and she's retired and does all these great things. And I think the full-time person, many full-time people still try to do all those things. Like she was just telling me about all the, she may call in too, but she was just telling me about all the,
right.
all the gifts and what one of the rooms looks like because of all the gifts she's already wrapped. And I think
right.
people working full-time,
that's
you know,
really yeah.
I don't know how, and I don't know if it comes from, you know, my mom used to say, she was in the generation that said, you can do it all. You
mm-hmm.
can work, and you didn't have to work, but now you're going to do everything in the home and you're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I think our generation, Kim, has maybe let go of that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? I don't know.
I say some, you know, I mean, you know, Lori knows that I teach generations in the workplace, so I'm always conscious of the experience of the traditionalist, the boomer, the Gen X, and the millennial, and of course, they're really different experiences. But it's not just when you're born, it's also your personality. And so even though I think millennials and Gen Xers are a little more relaxed about creating the perfect Christmas, because they're more conscious of how that's been marketed to us, not for our benefit, but, you know, for
yes,
the benefit
exactly,
of advertisers,
right.
They're still experiencing a lot of pressures. Like, for example, it's mostly the millennials and the Gen Ys, I mean, and the Gen Xers, who complain about the geographic distances. I had a woman in one of my workshops last year, and she was going to 5 Christmas gatherings. 5. So that actually, this is something we should talk about. I wanted to quickly say, major stressors that require attention And that we, if you're going to do, you know, a little introspection, as I suggested, with your pen in your hand after the our broadcast ends, think about what changed situations you might be involved in. Like, is there a new stepfamily situation where people are adjusting to mingled traditions? That takes mm-hmm. effort and energy, and everything probably can't stay the same without somebody really struggling. So the family meetings, for example, can be a powerful intervention if they're done early enough. It might be too late now at the beginning of December to have a family meeting and change things for this year, but you have a golden opportunity to talk to your family this year about things you might do next year. So I'll actually come back to that in a minute. Or if you're divorced within the last 2 years, or you've had the death of a spouse or a partner within the last 2 years, or if you have celebration or social anxiety, if you notice that you say you're going to go places and then you always cancel out at the last minute, you may want to learn a little bit more about social anxiety, because 1 in 4 Americans is going to qualify for an anxiety disorder diagnosis over the course of a lifetime. It doesn't mean they'll have it for their whole lifetime. It means at some point in their lifetime they'll qualify. And social pressures make a lot of people anxious. So if you see that pattern in yourself, it might be worth reflecting on, acknowledging, and thinking about whether you want to share with your family, hey, I got this brain chemistry thing going on here, and I may not be able to make it to all the things that are expected. But to go back to this millennial who brought up the 5 meals at Christmas, she was from, her parents were both divorced, and it was all very amicable. Everybody was remarried, and her grandparents were still alive, and she was married. So she was expected by these various branches of the family to make a physical appearance at dad and his wife's house, mom and her husband's house, grandma's house, and the house of her in-laws. And her husband also had a mother and father who had remarried. So that adds up to 5 meals. And I said, what do you do? And she said, well, I try to talk them into letting me eat a little bit. Or I say, you know, I can only have dessert. She said some of them meet Christmas Eve and some of them meet Christmas Day. But basically over a 24-hour period, she's expected to see 5 families. And so the group that was in that workshop was a lovely bunch, and we brainstormed with her, what are your options there? And that's what I'd invite our listeners to either call in or message. What options do you see? Or just think about it. For example, why not use New Year's Day as at least one of those gatherings? Why not try to arrange something where more of them could be in the same place at the same time? You know, if she didn't have to go to grandma's house, if grandma was willing to be picked up and brought over to mom and dad's house or something. There's mm-hmm. always solutions to problems, but if people aren't willing to say that this is almost unsustainable, then everybody just assumes everything's okay. So here's this poor woman suffering silently, dreading the holidays. If her family knew how she dreaded it, they'd probably be really sad. But she and maybe even be understanding, but she was afraid to bring it up.
You know what's so funny about what you said? What really resonates with me is saying, you know what? I want to save you for January mm-hmm. and February mm-hmm. because this is when I get down. You know, you might say, I don't feel as, you know, festive. I need to go out to a dinner and maybe a movie or a concert or something in January. I want to do that with you.
Yes.
I think that is very cool. The other thing that hits me is, you know, I've had a New Year's Day party for like maybe 10 years. I got the idea from a friend. We did it with her. And the funny thing about the New Year's Day party is I tend to not even care what I do on New Year's Eve mm-hmm. because we do, you know, we do lots of different, you know, meats and cheeses and mm-hmm. and sandwiches and dips and chips. And I tell everybody, come over, do not wear anything better than sweatpants. Pajamas are the best option. Bring your pillow.
I love that.
Oh, it is so much fun. And we watch football all day. We eat, we hang out. We just have a blast. Everyone lays around, and I know it's a successful day if somebody falls asleep sometime after they've overeaten, like, which I know overeating is bad, but let's face it, we're going to go
We
one
kept
more
the spirit
day
of
and
it, though.
probably get ourselves together. And I love that party, and that's a party where I can really get people, there. And you can also, like you said, do it on New Year's Eve, but also the January one, I think could be really be made. You could really make that special if you wanted
You
to.
could. Actually, if you don't mind, let me comment on that a little bit. One of the things that's come up in over the years as I get to share this with people is that if you don't like sports, for example, okay, then you'd say, well, what am I going to do? I don't watch football. You could have a New Year's Day party that involves games, board games, or cards. Have various things set up in your living room and dining room and let people move around and play. You know, it's funny how so many people grew up playing board games, and when the lights go out, remember some years back when we had a power failure that lasted more than 24 hours, and people were out on their front porches and in their backyards playing board games until the sun went down. And afterward,
That's
there were so
fun.
many op-ed pieces about how much fun that was and why don't we do that anymore. And so you might be able to have, just a gathering like that, or if you're all geeks, play geek games, or if you are video gamers, have some of those set up in some traditional board games for those who aren't video games. I mean, there's so many creative ways. If you're not a drinker, you could sample all kinds of teas and coffees, or have homemade root beer, or it doesn't even have to involve alcohol if that's not your thing. I guess what I hear both of us saying, Lori, is one way to handle holiday stress is to be more creative and to try to get people on board. My husband comes from a big family. He's seven of nine children. And when I married into the family, who I adore them, they're a great bunch, they were still giving gifts, each sibling to each other, and then,
Oh my gosh.
yeah, and wait, it gets better. And then each godparent to their godchildren. So when you have a family that big, every sibling has a couple of godchildren or a bunch of godchildren even. And so, and then of course his parents were both still alive then, and so we were buying for them. And it was a lot of buying and wrapping. And I love them, so I resentful is way too strong a word. I was not resentful because I really love them. And for many years I really enjoyed, I would start shopping early. That's another tip that somebody, an older mom, wiser, gave me. She said, don't start shopping in August or September. Start the day after Christmas. She said, go
You get
out.
great deals.
Yeah, she said, go out. You don't have to do like the crush. It doesn't have to be literally the day after Christmas. But when things are on sale, think, oh, so and so loves tea and they would love that teapot, and look at it, it's half off because it's 3 days after Christmas. And so we actually went out and bought a cupboard and assembled it ourselves, kind of a Target put together cupboard. We put it down in the basement, and we used it as a gift closet. And so we would just buy the thing, bring it home, put the person's name on a sticky note on that thing. And then in November, all I had to do was go downstairs and see, okay, who's missing? So instead of starting from scratch to do all that buying, you're just filling in the holes. So that really helped. And we did that for some years. But then our careers became more and more responsible, and I was managing 80 people, and we had two kids, and even that started to really feel like a lot. So we just floated the idea at a Christmas celebration, very low key. How would people feel about moving toward a grab bag? Now, a lot of families have done that, so good for them, But in this family, it was a little bit of a badge of honor. We love each other so much, we all shop for each other. So I knew it was going to be tender. And my husband was brave enough. These are his siblings, so he brought it up. We talked about how to bring it up so that nobody would be offended. And people were pretty good about it, but there was nothing conclusive, And we didn't want to push it. So the following year, we bought the same gift for each married couple and a different gift, but also the same for each single sibling. So we were only buying multiples of two gifts. And do you
Oh,
know,
you did this slowly, didn't you?
we did it slowly, exactly, because, we love them. We don't want anybody to be offended. And, nobody said anything. Everybody thanked us for the gifts. And the next year, three siblings did the same thing. So without ever acknowledging that they also were feeling a little overwhelmed by this, they just took that as tacit permission, and then people started to buy, kind of bulk gifts, and it was way easier. And then, of course, eventually we moved on to a grab bag. We also had a conversation about when do the God kids age out of gift giving? Like, when they're 35, are we still buying for our God kids, or how does that go?
That's a good question.
I think people settled on 18 or something, So I guess the moral of this part of the story is communicate, communicate, communicate.
Mm-hmm. And, I'd like to just say that callers, people who are having tremendous stress at the holidays or those that have great ideas, please give us a call. We're at 888-627-6008. Feel free to call in. Love to hear your comments or your questions for Kim. 888-627-6008. Kim, those are really great ideas. And it's just so necessary. Go ahead.
It is. And yet, we live in a culture that doesn't really encourage that, because so much of what we see on TV is the perfect. I love those gooey cookie commercials as much as anybody. But if we let sentimentality rule our lives and the way we do our customs, it can be exhausting. Here's a couple other thoughts. I call this a gift basket of ideas for avoiding post-holiday letdown. So if I can be permitted, just let me throw out a couple more ideas for our listeners to think about. So the first one that was at least usually beneficial to me is that a lot of what gets us in trouble at the holidays is our expectations. So if we can stop now and kind of weed out our irrational ideas, we are less set up for disappointment later. So if Uncle Clem comes to the New Year's family gathering every year, having imbibed too much, it's irrational to think that he won't do that again this year. If he doesn't, that's lucky. That's gravy. But to tell ourselves, oh, I hope everyone will be happy and agreeable this year. Oh, I hope Uncle Clem doesn't come with, six under his belt already. That's just a setup for failure. It would be better to put our energy into when, as is highly probable, Uncle Clem comes in having drunk this much, How will I manage him? Or who in the family can be my ally? How can I set up a secret signal with my brother, who is a pretty good behavior manager, to come over and assist me with Uncle if he gets. That is way smarter to do. And to plan now which small and large changes you're going to make for next year and get some consensus in at least parts of the family about how that might go. And then actually write them down and attach them to your calendar so that next, say, October, you can send them around and say, okay, remember last year we had this conversation, so how are people feeling about it now? Everybody weigh in. What might you think about us moving toward, not celebrating on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day and gathering instead for a New Year's Day brunch or something? I've actually talked to quite a few large families who have moved to a New Year's Day brunch, and I think that's another example of weeding out an irrational idea. At least Americans, maybe other cultures too, have a pretty strong idea that everything leads up to the day, the big day. And that's a killer. And if you know anything about Christmas traditions, that's not how it used to be. In the olden days, people celebrated 4 weeks of Advent, so it was more of a personal preparation period, which those who were practicing mindfulness and who are seekers and who do yoga and meditate and so on, could beef up their self-care and mindful practices during the 4 weeks before Christmas and New Year's. If you are a Christian, you might restore the season of Advent and make it a time that's a little more mindful and a little less subject to the pressures of the culture. And one of the things that our family did, I'm not saying everybody should, and I realize that not all of our listeners might even celebrate Christmas, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit. What do you do if this isn't your bag at all?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things our family did to stay sane was we kept Advent, Advent, and Christmas, Christmas as much as possible. So we resisted putting up a tree at Thanksgiving, and we kept Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. And then at the end of Thanksgiving, and traditionally Advent started, so we would put up an Advent wreath on the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend, and we would enjoy that for 3 weeks. And we didn't put our tree up until, like, right before Christmas, maybe 5 or 8 days before Christmas. And then, here's what I want our listeners to hear and consider whether this would fit in your life. In the olden days, people celebrated the 12 days of Christmas. Everybody knows the song, but most people don't know that the 12 days of Christmas were the 12 days after Christmas, not the 12 days before Christmas, which is where all the hubbub takes place in our culture. And so the lead up to Christmas was more gentle, and the Christmas season lasted longer. It wasn't like, okay, build up, build up, build up, build up, and then Christmas, and then boom, and then 2 days after Christmas, hundreds of trees out on the tree lawn. It was a more gradual build-up and a longer celebration, because the 12 days of Christmas were between Christmas and Epiphany. So that was one of the things our family did. We kept our tree up.
I did not realize that.
Well, a lot of people don't. That's why I share it. You know, it's not for everybody, but it's one answer. And it was an answer that worked well for us. And we would set aside one gift. The kids would pick out a gift that they wanted to save for Epiphany, which is, of course, traditionally the day the three kings gave gifts. They would pick one gift from under the tree and set it aside. So they still had something to look forward to. So and the tree was still up on Epiphany, and we would have like a nice meal and maybe sing We Three Kings. And then they'd have that last present to open. So it wasn't this big boom crash afterward. And there may be other ways to do that if you're not a practicing Christian, if Christmas is more of a secular holiday for you. But just knowing that there's a precedent, strong precedent, for celebrating in that way might get people's creative juices going.
Well, let's talk about, you know, marketing for a minute. I mean, was it the 70s and 80s that got us? Was it the marketing? Because you say, you know, back in the day, at some point, it was like you just mentioned. So
mm-hmm.
Was it the marketing when TV was in everyone's house?
Well,
is that when everything changed
difference.
And marketing happened?
I'm sure there's somebody out there with more expertise in that answer than what I have. But we know that in the United States, the 1940s were the decade when TVs really started to move into people's houses. And then in the 50s, they moved in a big way. And by the 60s, pretty much everybody had one. And so,
mm-hmm.
yes, we are more brainwashed now into certain idea, and then, of course, magazines are also, I try not to look at them when I'm in the grocery store because there's, you know, at least some years back when I was still looking at them, one would be, have a pioneer Christmas, make a Victorian Christmas tree. You know, so if people were sitting around, you know, putting together 50 ornaments to have a different tree this year than what they had last year, just crazy. So,
yeah, that's.
Yeah, I think it's. Well, I guess my answer to that would be, I'm a baby boomer, and my grandmother, so not too many generations ago, still remembers getting a stocking that had oranges and walnuts and raisins and a little bit of candy
mm-hmm.
in it.
My mom talked
really
about that. Yep, back in the 50s.
Only two or three generations at the most that have been celebrating Christmas the way we do now. So Christmas was a much simpler affair for most of the history of the world, and it's only recently, as people have become so affluent, and as you say, with the rise of marketing that is ubiquitous, that people feel all these pressures. So we really have to swim up against the culture a little bit if we're going to create our own joyful celebration. And one of the things I invite people to reflect on in a workshop is the fact that, and not to be a Captain Bring Down here, just to be realistic, every one of us is going to celebrate a limited number of holidays in a lifetime. We only have so many holidays, and we don't know how many there are. So why not be daring and try negotiating a new tradition that works for you? You know, if you knew you had 3 years to live, would you want to keep doing the holiday the way you've been doing it? Or would you be bolder about tactfully, skillfully, lovingly asking the people you care about if you can't make some adjustments that make the whole thing happier? And how to unload your guilt, you know, is a big
right.
thing, you know.
Right. And, you know, you've given us a lot of tips already about de-stressing. Is a lot of that stress unwarranted? Do you think a lot of that stress is in our own minds? I know I hear what you say about the expectations of
yeah.
some family members expecting, but do you think sometimes maybe we could just do some things on our own to de-stress? Like,
definitely.
You know, I wrote my blog and talked about, you know, oh, I make these cookies every year, the caramel balls. They're so hard to make, but
mm-hmm.
everybody loves them. I have to.
Yes.
So how do we deal with the stress that we put ourselves
thinking
under?
About that. Well, first of all, ask the question. That's the first absolute thing. If we want something to change, we have to ask ourselves these kinds of questions, and I think that's a terrific one. The research on stress is really compelling, that it isn't the short-term stresses that do you in, but what you tell yourself about those stresses that tends to do you in. So I found in my own life, when I started to reflect on the very questions I'm raising today, that a lot of it was driven by me. So, you know, I want to complain, but I also want it the way I want it. Well, is that fair? Or sensible. So as our children got older, we had some family meetings where we said, okay, how can we do this thing so that a lot of the work doesn't just fall on me or, you know, me and Dad? It's very difficult for single parents who are trying to make everything happen, especially if they have younger kids. So I'd say two things to this. One, remind yourself, or if this is a new concept to you, hug to your heart the idea that you have a bank account with yourself, an energy bank account. And into that account, you make deposits and withdrawals. At this time of the year, whether you're a Christian celebrating Christmas or whether you're a seeker or a non-Christian who's just surrounded by Christmas, which can be kind of stressful if you're not really part of this thing, that's not easy either. So what do? Make deposits into your energy bank. So this is a time to maybe cut back a little bit on what you're spending on others and spend just a little bit on yourself. Get a massage at some critical point in the busyness of this season. Now, what I don't recommend is, you know, smoking an extra pack a day of cigarettes or drinking to relieve your stress, because all those things have price tags. But if you can think of some positive things, like sign up for a yoga class. There's a way in which the busier you are, the more you can't afford not to take time for yourself. What we do is say, I'm too busy for a yoga class. Is she crazy? I can't do that in December. But what a really healthy person who values themselves as much as they value others will say, I've got so much on my plate in November, December, I've got to get to yoga class. Or I have to have lunch with that friend who makes me laugh. Or I've got to prioritize basketball with my buddies because that exercise de-stresses me. And the research on people who are good stress managers show that that's exactly what they do. Instead of saying, I'm so busy, I can't afford to eat healthy, so I'm going to have my 15th Happy Meal, you know, this week.
Right.
They do the opposite and say, I'm so stressed, I must make the time to pack a lunch of, you know, hummus, carrots, apples, and you know what, you understand what I'm saying.
Right,
so that
I
energy
do.
Bank concept is huge. And I'm not particularly good at this when I started out, believe me. So I actually made a sign for myself that said the energy bank on it, and it had blank lines, and I would fill in deposits and withdrawals. There were two columns of blank lines. And I invite our listeners to do something like that because the withdrawals really go up. We're have to ing all over ourselves. We're shoulding all over ourselves. And if we monitor our energy bank and we're faithful to our own need for self-care, beef up our self-care as we ask more of ourselves during this time of the year, then we don't maybe end up standing in a pile of should, which is a pretty unpleasant place to be.
Well, I like that. I like that term, standing in a pile of should. Now, I know you obviously do this wonderful workshop. Now, I take it this is live, probably in the area where you live, correct? This is not online or anything.
No, it isn't, although I do more and more webinars. So people who have the capacity to do remote training, like some of the companies that I work for, there'll be people in the room, and then there'll be people all over the world, you know, who wanted to take the workshop, and I address both of them. They're on the screen, and I'm talking to them, and then I'm also talking to the people in the room. It's actually a lot of fun.
Right. If that is ever a situation, I'd love to promote that, because our listeners are all over the country, and quite frankly, I have listeners all over the world. So,
awesome.
You know, let us know, because that's a very needed workshop for so many people to just listen and get ideas, because everybody has different kinds of relatives and friends, and we have different personalities, and our pressures are different. So,
well,
you know, as we think about those pressures, sorry, go ahead.
I'm a hopeless extrovert. I apologize. I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm murmuring like, yes, yes, yes. I totally agree with you.
Okay,
the way
great.
You do the self-care also depends on what helps you. So for one person, a massage is great. For another person, splurging for a babysitter so that they can shop unaccompanied would be the smart thing to do. Another person needs a quiet hour. I'm actually one of those people. I'm a real extrovert and an energizer bunny. But I also have learned about myself that if I don't have that quiet hour, I can get cranky, which is not exactly the spirit of the holiday. So my husband jokes that I sit in the holy dark. Once the tree goes up, I'll make a cup of cocoa, turn out all the lights, put on some Christmas music, and usually I choose maybe soothing Christmas music rather than, you know, something with a big up-tempo beat. I'm a geek, so I like Renaissance and medieval music. It's very soothing and lovely. It gives kind of an otherworldly feel. And I turn all the lights out. And if Bill walks by and he sees me doing that, he just knows I'm in the holy dark. Don't bug me for at least 20 minutes. You'll have a much happier wife at the end of the time that she spends in there. How many of us put up a tree and go to all that work and never turn out the lights and sit there and just look at it?
That
and
is
I
so
ask my people in workshops
that,
and the majority of them, at least half of every workshop will say, my gosh, I can't believe I put all that work into putting up a tree, and not one time did I sit down with a glass of wine and the lights out and just look at it.
Right. You know, that's so funny you say that, because I'm a true extrovert. I had a friend, you know, the Myers-Briggs is a personality test, and one of the four traits is extrovert or introvert, and then there's three other traits, and he called me an E-E-E-E. That's how extroverted I am. And so it's so funny, because I don't know if I need that alone time, because I've had that opportunity in my life and now I'm used to it, but I need some alone time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously as extroverts, people energize us. Mm-hmm. That's how we work. But at the same time, everybody needs a little balance. And this is a beautiful time of year to do it. Like I adore my tree. I adore my decorations. And that is a wonderful way to do it, to just sit there at some point and be able to do it. And, you know, I don't want to get, you know, take the show in a direction that is sad, but, you know, there's a lot of people suffering out there in different ways, especially this time of year. I've been around people who have, and I guess I would move to, you know, how do we deal with situations where we know, especially financially, you know, we may have had the money at once, mm-hmm. and now we don't have the same financial situation, or we have something that has come into our lives that we have to cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people who have, like you said, expectations. You've been talking about that the whole show. And by the way, if anybody wants to call in, feel free to call and give your comments at 888-627-6008 and talk to us. But you know, people have these expectations, and maybe we can't fulfill them for whatever reason.
Yeah.
How do those people sort of get through it? And sometimes I put it to you this way: if my happiness level between like 0 and 10 is at a 1. Sometimes all we can do is get to a 3. And a
Yes,
3 is
that's
good
right. That's
because we're
right.
going through so much. So
Exactly.
how do we deal with, financial problems, issues, people's expectations? Can you speak, any more to
Sure.
that?
Oh, I'd be happy to. So many. It's such a great question, Lori. Well, first of all, happiness is another topic that I love training about, and the research on happiness shows that the more you pursue it, the less happy you feel. So one of the problems with this season and the expectations around it is a lot of us are walking around going, "Am I happy now? Am I happy now? Is this the best Christmas ever?" That gets the buzzer. That kind of thinking is almost definitely going to make you unhappy. And the time to be quiet and sit with my tree and drink the cocoa is sometimes before the 25th of December, but often it's during those 12 days of Christmas afterward, which gives me something to look forward to. If I have nothing to look forward to afterwards, then I'm all het up about whether or not I'm happy now. Is this the perfect present? And if we can let go of that kind of language, that's extremely helpful. And then if you're suffering, if you've been recently divorced or, like you said, have a financial crisis or lost someone, to death, those are griefs that need to be acknowledged. And we might need extra support during this period of year, this time of the year. There's absolutely no shame in going to your company's employee assistance program and meeting with somebody there 3 times around the holidays just to help get extra support. Or if you have drinking issues, I think we can all learn a lot from the 12-step community. I shouldn't just say drinking, but addictions of any kind. Because over the holidays, knowing that this is sort of a crazy-making time of year in the United States, people will up the number of meetings that they go to. So maybe I'm not going to meetings, but I can take a page out of their book and beef up my self-care or spend time with my friend or my sister or brother who gets it, supporting one another in, swimming upstream against the culture, walking a different walk. Taking that alone time for introspection so that I have a clearer idea of what would constitute a healthy and happy celebration for me, And some of the old-fashioned pleasures really yield a lot of benefits. So, for example, I've met a lot of families who are deliberate about buying holiday-related books, whether those are Hanukkah books or Kwanzaa books or Christmas books. Every year, they might give one as a gift, and they eventually create a short shelf, or in the case of our family, I suppose a longer shelf of, we have all these Christmas stories. Well, we get those down 4 weeks before Christmas, and when the children were little, we would read those at night so that we were feeling kind of Christmassy even during our Advent because we were reading those stories, and we took such pleasure in those books. And even now that my kids are both grown up, they still want to see them out. I keep them up on a top shelf during most of the year, but they want me to bring those down so they can leaf through them. Well, that's a very old-fashioned pleasure, but it is a pleasure. The other thing research shows about happiness is that people are often happier when they're giving than when they're getting. This is not
Yes.
at all what our marketing messages tell us. So again, we're swimming upstream. But people who volunteer at a soup kitchen or help with coats for kids or toys for tots, those people, when surveyed, have much more satisfying feelings about the holiday than people who are just materialistic. So there's something for us all to reflect on and maybe bring up to our families. Again, maybe not right now after your sister-in-law has already spent hundreds of dollars, but maybe after Christmas this year, bring up what might change. And then the last thing you addressed, Lori, which I thought was great, is what if your situation has changed? You used to be able to spend X number of dollars. Now you can't do that anymore. That's where some really beautiful humility and acting like a grown-up has to come in. I think once we're, those childhood sibling rivalries can so easily carry over into adulthood. So I don't want to, admit that, my sister, the doctor, is sitting pretty compared to my family. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
She's made her choices. I've made mine. If I'm happy, there's nothing to be ashamed or regretful about that I'm budgeting on a smaller sum than she is. And she can spend what she wants, and I'm allowed to spend what I want. There's no rule out there that says, let's all spend so much on each other. It's okay for me to gently challenge that and say, well, I'm thrilled that that's a good amount for you to spend. And when I say that, I really mean it. I'm not being sarcastic. And notice I'm not saying but. And at the same time, that really isn't possible for our family. it involves a little humility, a little honesty. And, hey, isn't this a season of personal growth and so on? You know, why not stretch ourselves into that?
Well, agreed. And, it's funny. I think of a story. I used to have a big Thanksgiving party. I would literally drive an hour and a half home, mm-hmm. do the whole day Thanksgiving, watch my football, because I love football, mm-hmm. and I have a certain team I love, but I might turn listeners off if I say it, Dallas Cowboys, but I had to watch them, and I would literally fly back here, and I don't mean fly literally, in the car, drive back here to start my party 1 hour and 15 minutes after. I'd have turkey, I'd have pizza, I'd have all this food already ready, plans, and all this stuff. For probably the next 5 to 6 hours. And you know what? My situation changed. And even before my situation changed, I said, you know what? I think doing my New Year's Day party is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need to just do what I'm going to do on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It may have even ran its course.
Yes.
Nobody is going to be angry. And I actually cut out a Halloween party, too, that people talked about for years. Mm-hmm. They wish I wouldn't have. But,
yeah.
And, not
and,
but,
and, right.
And, at the same time, I have the party I love. I have the New Year's Day party. But that could change, too. And you know what, Kim? I have learned over the years to not feel guilty and that has been the biggest challenge for me, and maybe it is for our listeners, the feeling of the guilt that we have.
Yes.
But that's just other people saying how they feel. That doesn't mean that we have to take it to heart, and I know that's easier said than done. But you know what? It's just not worth it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And, part of what helps me stick to, because I'm not immune to family pressures and societal pressures myself, and so I have to work at this. I really choose my thoughts. I mean, and at some point in all this learning, I learned to think of everything that I do for my family or friends at the holiday season as a choice. And so I do those things that I can choose to do gladly. And if I become aware, here's again where the unexamined life isn't worth living, it's my job to become aware if I'm resentful. And if I am resentful, then I have to see if I can develop alternatives. And I don't have to do that by fiat, okay, this is the way it's going to be. I can negotiate that with the people that I love. And,
yes.
Of course, it doesn't always have to be me. When you gave up the Halloween party, somebody else could have taken that on. Or if you did, if you brought it up with everybody before you stopped hosting it every year, maybe people would have said, let's rotate it. The same six friends come to this Halloween party every year. What if I only have to do it once every 6 years? There's always ways to solve problems if we acknowledge that it's an issue. But to do that, we have to accept our feelings and process them. And that, journaling is a powerful tool for people to do that work at this time of the year and after the holidays. If you're not somebody who wants to talk with a trusted person, then maybe write a letter that you won't send to get out some feelings or put them in a journal. And the other slogan that I've learned to live by is, some gifts are for a time. And that's what I hear you saying about some of your celebrations. You enjoyed
yes.
it when you did it, and then a time came when you didn't enjoy it anymore, and you let go of it. Some gifts are for a time.
I agree. Mm-hmm. People and things And that's what you appreciate. I've found that people like whoever likes or loves me, whichever situation we're in, they're still going to like or love me, whether that issue situation goes on or not.
And if
So
you don't,
that's
then that
reassuring
tells me
because
something, doesn't it?
if they don't, then what does that say? So we do
Exactly.
have a caller on the line, Kim. We have
Great.
Ryan
Hi, Ryan.
on line three. Ryan, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Lori, thanks for taking my call. It's great to be back here in the Happiness Hangout one more time here. Happy Wednesday and happy holidays to everybody, obviously. And Kim, welcome back as well.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I great points and everything about living stress-free. I think really seeing a joy of, you know, I have a son that's 11 years old, and just seeing, I think they really review, you know, takes away a lot of the stress level for me is, you know, watching his face just light up when he opens up a gift. I think to me that is just as much as you kind of, you know, you see the in-laws right across the way, and, you know, sometimes it could be a rift of a relationship, but, you know, you kind of put all that to the side. And I think, you know, having kids at like Christmas and Christmas Eve, I think just what it's all about. I mean, that's just completely lights me up to no end. And I just feel blessed to have a son. And, you know, families that do have kids, and, you know, you hear about all the stuff that when I worked at MBNA back in the day, and it was when Al Lerner was, you know, he owned the Cleveland Browns at one point in time. He always made sure that, you know, employees at MBNA would go to all like the hospitals around Beechwood and stuff and visit, you know, a lot of the sick children and stuff like that. And during the holiday season, he always made a point of doing that. So,
Very
but,
satisfying.
yeah, definitely love the show, Lori. You guys are doing great. That was just pretty much my comment I wanted to say tonight. So,
Thanks.
Well,
hopefully you
thank
guys
you. And
have
what it sounds to
a
me is
great holiday.
it's about the people, is what it sounds like. It's about about the people, not the things. And although we like things and we do things, and thank you, Ryan, for calling, it's really about the people. People
Right.
say that, and it really is. You know, I can make a couple batches of cookies, and people light up because they love the cookies. That
Right.
doesn't cost me very much money. Now, if I'm overstressed because I have 17 other things to do, you know, maybe I'll not do as many cookies, or maybe
Right.
I'll buy, you know, and that's okay
Buy some
too.
and
I'm
make
just.
some. Right. Flexible.
Yes,
Well, and
flexibility is the
I
key.
love
And
that Ryan talked about kids and how they bring joy. And I wanted to add, too, not everybody does have a kid in their life, their own kids, but you might have one you can borrow, you know? And if you're, you know, if you know, are in a position of trust and the parents know you and all that stuff, they might be really happy to lend them for a couple hours so you could have the joy that way and also free up the parents. Or maybe elders are more your thing. I mean, there's a lot of nice volunteer opportunities that can involve elders too. I think those are important things to think about.
You know, just this morning at my networking meeting, somebody was telling me about their child, who is now in her teens. For many years, they have been going to the Angel Tree and taking, you know, children's names and buying for them. And she lives for that. She just
Oh, that's great.
absolutely loves it. And that's another way to give to a child. And
Yes.
maybe you get to meet, you know, that child writes you a letter or whatever, and you get to communicate. But that's another way of, you know, serving a child in your,
Well, this
you know,
is
in
the
your life.
perfect time of the year to teach altruism to children. One of the things we used to do is go through toys at this time of the year and give some away. And that became a very teachable moment because when they're little, they want to give away broken toys, you know. And I would say, well, would you like it if somebody gave you broken toys? No. Well, the kids were donating these to, those kids are just like you. They don't want broken toys either. Let's find some toys that still have a lot of good play in them to share with people that don't
I
have them,
love that.
you know, or
And you know,
go ahead.
no, I was just going to say, go ahead, finish your thought,
Well,
Kim.
I was just going to say the other thing we would do was when the kids got to be allowance age, then we would pay them their allowance into envelopes. So they'd have an envelope for, you know, for fun and one for something they were saving for long term, like a special doll or something. But we always made sure they had a charity envelope. And that wasn't my idea. Somebody mentored me into that. I wish I could remember who. And then at Christmas time was one of the two or three times a year that we'd look into those charity envelopes. And, I mean, they'd only been building up like an hour, a dollar at a time. So, you know, maybe they'd have $25 in them or something. But then we would lay out the brochures from the solicitations. You know how many charities are soliciting at this time of the year. And I'd pick like five so that it wouldn't be overwhelming. And then we'd talk about it. Do you want to give to build wells in a developing country? Because here's all these kids just like you that have to walk for an hour to bring water home. Or do you want to help rescue dogs this time? Or would you like to buy an acre of the rainforest? You know, it's such a teachable time and so much more in the spirit of the holiday than gimme, gimme, gimme.
Right. Well, you know, Kim, we have about 1 minute left, and I just want to say one thing before we wrap up and talk about what you're up to is, you know, for those grieving at this time of the year and have tough times, what I would say is take care of yourself. It's okay to not do what everybody expects of you. Yeah. Do what makes you happy, whether that's, you know, staying at home and cuddling with your pet or reading or traveling and getting away from it all. For those who are grieving, do what you need to do right now to feel your best. And I just really want to put that out there because I know a lot of people grieve. And if you're really struggling and it's been years since you've lost somebody, you know, talk to somebody about this so you can work through it, because there's a lot of people that I hear at this time of year that really just really struggle.
And you don't have to suffer alone. There are so many good support groups. You know, call the local funeral home and find out where the support groups for grievers are meeting and ask for help. You know, I went through 1 year that was very difficult. We had a kind of a personal crisis in October, and, you know, by December 1, it was certainly not over. And I had all these presents to wrap. The children were young. And I thought, you know, I don't have to do this alone. I have people who love me. I called a friend and said, I know you're up to your eyeballs in alligators, but I really could use some help wrapping presents. If I made cocoa and got cookies out, would you come over and help me wrap, even if it was just for an hour? And, I mean, I still, you know, I just could kiss the ground she walks on for doing that for me all those years ago. I mean, I'll never forget her for that. We're still friends, and what a gift.
Well, what a gift. And, you know, Kim.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I have, like, a few questions that I want to throw out for people's final reflection. And that is, look at your holiday this year, and then ask yourself, does it create stability, security, and a healthy tradition? Do you like doing it, or does it feel like a have to? Does everybody involved endorse it? Does doing it cause resentment? Does it consume an unreasonable amount of expense, time, or energy? Does doing it keep you from doing something else more meaningful to you? Is it in harmony with your values, or is it in conflict with them? And is it imposed on participants through guilt or manipulation? If you take the time to work through those 8 questions, I can almost guarantee you that your next holiday will be happier than whatever's going on now that makes you go.
Thank you, Kim, so much. And I'm being told by our engineer we have to go. So much for not making it all the way through, right? Kim Langley, LANGLEY.net. or lifebalanceenterprises.com. Make sure you see what's going on with Kim. She's amazing. Kim, thank you again so much.
It was entirely mine, Lori.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Want to find a space to participate in reading, activities, interactive blog, and much more? Check out www.happinesshangout.net. Looking for a speaker or workshop around the area of happiness? We customize presentations to fit your needs. Just click on the My Services tab at the website. You can also support the site by shopping at Amazon or one of our other affiliates. Just go to www.happinesshangout.net and click on the shopping link or go to my page here at BBS Radio.